This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
Ready? Let's go. Give me a vacation.
Vacation!
Give me a golf course.
70 courses!
Let's get a water sport.
Paddleboarding!
Can I get excursions?
Whale watching!
Time for chill vibes.
Beach yoga!
How about a garden tour?
Balboa Park!
Give me a dolphin. What's that spell?
San Diego!
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your trip at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.
Hello, from Wonder Media Network, I'm Jenny Kaplan, host of Womanica, a daily podcast that introduces you to the fascinating lives women history has forgotten. We've always been intrigued by stories of disappearances, whether it's a fraudster from the 17th century who kept evading the authorities, or a novelist who taunted the Nazis and faked her own death. We all want to know, what happened next? To find out, listen to Womanica on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, and welcome to Savor, a production of iHeartRadio. I'm Annie Reese.
And I'm Lauren Vogelbaum, and today we have an episode for you about carrot cake.
Yes.
Yep.
Oof. Yeah. Yes, we do. I'll ask it, even though I think I know the answer. Was there any particular reason this was on your mind, Lauren?
Yeah. We just had Easter weekend, and an association of mine with Easter weekend is carrot cake, I think because of, like, the Easter bunny and bunnies in cartoons liking carrots. I think that that's
the extent.
Yeah. I can't remember the last time I had a piece of carrot cake. It certainly wouldn't have been at an Easter, not in the last like 10 years. So I don't know.
Yeah, I would love to hear from listeners about this. I find traditions fascinating around food, and Easter traditions are sort of all across the map.
Oh, yeah.
We were just talking about lamb cakes and how fun they are.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I typically associate carrot cake with fall, I think because of the spices. But
okay, yeah, that tracks. Nice warm fall spices in there, sure.
I did find a really funny article that was about how carrot cake is one of the few desserts that they, like, decorate with carrots. So you
right.
know it's... carrot cake.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, like, it's sort of, you know, you can decorate a strawberry cake with real strawberries.
Right. Yes.
It's harder to decorate a carrot cake with real carrot.
It is. I thought it was fascinating because I've never really pondered that before. I've mentioned before, I have a list of desserts that I keep for friends of mine, just like things they mention. And super producer Ramsey, friend of the show, favorite dessert, carrot cake.
Really? Okay. Yeah. I mean, I like it. I don't dislike it.
I don't dislike it either, but it's pretty rare for me. I think that's a first for someone to say that's their favorite. But yeah, he loves it.
Great. Cool.
Yes.
Into that. National Carrot Cake Day is February 3rd, meaning that we've straight missed that one.
And it's near neither of our associations
nope.
for carrot cake.
Mm-mm.
Okay, cool. you can see our carrot episode, our lamb cake episode, just because. Fruitcake, maybe? Kinda.
Sure-ish.
Cream cheese. Pumpkin pie, maybe. It's in that space.
Yeah.
It's in a vague Venn diagram of a lot of those things.
Yeah. Maybe some of our spice episodes, cinnamon or cloves or nutmeg. Sure.
All right, well, oof, I guess that brings us to our question.
I guess it does.
Carrot cake. What is it?
Well, a carrot cake is a type of dessert baked good that uses grated carrots to add moisture and sweetness and a little bit of earthiness, helping create a fluffy, delicate, kind of weird cake. These cakes are often further flavored with warm spices like ginger, cinnamon, and nutmeg, maybe a touch of bright citrus and smooth vanilla. They're also studded with mix-ins like raisins or currants and some kind of chopped nuts, and then topped with a rich, creamy frosting like a buttercream or a cream cheese frosting. They're often decorated with a little frosting carrot. It's often a layer cake format, meaning that you stack multiple individually baked cakes on top of each other with frosting in between the layers, and it's usually served as a dessert or snack at kind of special occasions like birthdays or holidays. It's like if you've ever roasted carrots with honey and some spices, it's like the ultimate form of that. Yeah. It's like a really clever way, actually, to get moisture and sweetness into a cake. It's like the least healthy iteration of a salad. A carrot cake is like snuggling down into a little anthropomorphic animal's burrow and tucking up under a nice fluffy comforter there.
Aww. I can see it, like a children's book image.
Yeah.
Snuggled up. Mm-hmm. Carrot cake.
Mm-hmm. So nice. Also, yeah. I really like cream cheese frosting. I have to admit, I'm low-key in it for the frosting in this particular cake iteration. That's usually not my case with cake, but at any rate, okay. So I would posit that one of the primary science problems that you have to solve when making baked goods is that you don't want the finished product to be dry. Usually. It tends to be gross, like there are exceptions. But, you know, you're also literally baking the good. You're subjecting the good in question to heat that's half again or twice the temperature at which water boils, so you are actively removing moisture from the good. There are a number of ways to combat this, but one of them is to use ingredients that themselves contain water and are like decent at holding on to it. Many fruits and vegetables do this all on their own as part of the process of living, because it turns out that water is like more or less necessary to make life happen. Life as we know it. Mostly. Anyway.
Oh, gosh.
Different show. But by adding shredded or grated or even ground carrots to your cake batter, you can help retain moisture in your finished cake. This is also part of why we have things like apple cake or banana bread or zucchini bread, or part of why recipes sometimes call for substituting applesauce in for sugar and or eggs. All that being said, there are a lot of preferences about what exactly goes into a carrot cake. I know raisins or currants and chopped nuts are both like contentious dessert inclusions. The nuts are usually walnuts or pecans, but there's no reason not to use almonds or, I don't know, whatever else you like. Pine nuts, maybe? I don't know. Other dried fruit could be used, like dates or coconut or pineapple. Some people add fresh pineapple. Americans do put vanilla in, like, everything, but sometimes it's nice to let the spices or zest from lemons or oranges shine. Those spices can be anything warm, like cloves or allspice or black pepper, maybe. Most recipes call for vegetable oil as your fat, but why not melt butter? Why not brown butter? People also get passionate about the type of frosting they prefer. As aforementioned, I love the tang of a nice cream cheese frosting, but buttercream can be great, and you could use a cultured butter to make it a little bit tangy. Yeah. Hmm. There are also strong opinions about whether carrot cake should just go in the trash. Strong opinions are welcome here. It does have a reputation for being a little bit old-fashioned in the United States. I've also read that it's very popular in England, Switzerland, and Denmark, though. Y'all write in. And apparently, Swiss versions use nut flour instead of wheat flour. And the carrot decoration is going to be made of marzipan. This is what I've read. Y'all let me know.
Hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, what about the nutrition?
Okay, y'all. I know I always say eat a vegetable. This is not what I mean by that. Yeah, sorry. By the time you add that much butter and frosting to anything, it doesn't count anymore. But hey, yeah, it's a treat. Treats are nice. Sorry.
I feel like you find a loophole and then. We do have some numbers for you.
Okay, yes. There is a Guinness record for the largest carrot cake. The record went to a bakery in Canada that in 2016 baked a cake measuring 6 meters square and weighing 2,070 kilos. That's a little under 20 feet square and about 4,500 pounds. The bakery, the Saint Germain Bakery, employed some 10 bakers for about 10 days and used around 500 kilos of carrots. That's about 1,000 pounds. It was not baked in a single piece, but rather assembled from 600 pieces. The bakery did it in honor of their 30th anniversary. And the co-owner said that carrot cake was the first type of cake he ever baked. So it was like personal and nostalgic to him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Then, okay, this is a very specific one that I found. In 2015, there was an invitation put out by the Swiss television channel, SRF1, for fans to come out to the 200th episode filming of matches of this card game. Because this episode was being filmed in this one region of Switzerland famous for carrot cake, the TV station challenged fans to bring at least 200 cakes for the 200th episode. But they wound up with 482 cakes.
You should know better. You know, you issue a challenge like that, people are going to show up.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like a delightful surplus.
Well, indeed. There is quite a history behind carrot cakes.
Oh, this one went places, yes. And we are going to get into that as soon as we get back from a quick break for a word from our sponsors. This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us.
Oh, yeah.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
And we're back. Thank you, sponsor.
Yes, thank you.
And yes, definitely see our carrot episode. We had a listener send in a lot of postcards about carrots after we did that one, and I still have them on my fridge. But it was a pleasant reminder while I was doing this research. But yes, carrots have a long past of historical confusion, often mixed up with parsnips in early records, among other things. When it comes to carrot cake specifically, records indicate that carrots may have been used as sweeteners in 10th century Arabic desserts.
Yeah, there are a couple recipes from around that time that are custard-type recipes that call for carrots along with spices like cloves, ginger, and nutmeg.
Some speculate that when sugar was prohibitively expensive and hard to come by for many in Europe during the Middle Ages, they would turn to things like carrots as a sweetener instead. It was not uncommon at the time to use sweet vegetables in the place of sugar. A lot of these early carrot cakes or carrot desserts would not use sugar at all, unlike our modern iterations. Mm-hmm. According to some sources, the first recipe for carrot cake was featured in a French cookbook that was published in Britain in 1827. However, important caveat, a part of this confusion surrounding carrot cake also surrounds our confusion or disagreement around the term cake.
Yeah. So as we've talked about in our episodes on cream of tartar and various baked goods, perhaps especially muffins, before chemical leaveners started becoming commercially available in like the 1850s, baking a nice fluffy cake was hard. Modern-ish ovens, which debuted around the 1830s, really helped too. Before all that, if you did not have the time or energy to hand whip air into your batter in one way or another, you were probably going for a steamed or a boiled cake or a baked custard, often called in English a pudding.
Right. So these may not fit what a lot of us think of as carrot cake today, but they do check a lot of those boxes.
Yeah. So going back to 1584, an English cookbook called A Book of Cookery had this recipe for a pudding in a carrot root that was both sweet and savory, involving fine-chopped goose or pig liver, breadcrumbs, cloves, mace, dates, salt, pepper, and sugar, all stuffed into a hollowed-out carrot and boiled in like a seasoned mutton broth. So, early, not quite what we're thinking about. But then there was a recipe for a dessert pudding of carrot that appeared in 1699 in John Evelyn's Aceteria, A Discourse in Salads, which was published in London.
Two recipes for carrot pudding pie were published in The Art of Cookery, Made Plain and Easy in 1747.
And these sweet recipes involved making a mix out of breadcrumbs, carrots that you've boiled and then grated, milk or cream, eggs, sugar, and flavorings like nutmeg and lemon peel, and then either boiling or baking that mixture. The pie versions call for a pastry crust on the top or bottom. I've read that these things are sort of like a modern bread pudding, except, you know, with breadcrumbs instead of chunks of bread. But yeah. A similar recipe appeared in Amelia Simmons' American Cookery in 1796 with cinnamon instead of nutmeg. And by the 1840s, at least, currants and raisins were also called for. But meanwhile,
George Washington. George Washington was apparently serving carrot cakes at parties, and some sources further suggest because of that, they must have still been like a luxury item or a treat. But this doesn't fit in with the rest of the narrative that it was a cheaper alternative to cakes made with sugar. I guess if you like carrot cake, it can be luxurious.
Sure. I had to get to the bottom of this. So historically, it's one party, and a version of carrot cake was probably served. Like, this isn't one of the recipes that we have from Washington's estate. It's from this pub in New York City called the Francis Tavern. So, it's 1873, after the Revolutionary War was officially over. The British were being evacuated from the newly minted United States, and New York was the last official city of evacuation. As part of the commotion and celebration, there were a couple events at this tavern. There was a big dinner party on the 25th of November, which is the official evacuation day, and then a farewell party for Washington on December 4th as he was, like, on his way out of the city. Strictly speaking, there is no evidence that carrot cake was served at either of these parties, but it's likely that a carrot pudding, along the lines of what we just discussed, was on the menu here because it was a common and popular dessert at the time. Mysteries, histories, yeah. Fun fact, though, Washington was definitely there and definitely wrote a testimonial for the owner of this tavern, one Samuel Francis, because he probably helped spy on British officers who frequented his tavern. Spy chef. Spy chef.
Cool.
Later, when Washington was president, he employed Francis in his households. Second fun fact, to this day, historians argue about whether Francis was a black dude. We're not sure. Spy chef.
Another great mini-series. We need to see.
Oh, my
goodness.
Honestly,
you could get a lot of good gossip in a restaurant, so.
Oh, yeah, right? Come on.
I see it. I see it. Especially if the alcohol is flowing.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to get some gossip.
Oh, I always, like, sometimes a server will walk away from my table and I'm kind of like, oh, you're welcome, buddy. Like, that was probably some weird, juicy stuff that we just said in front of you. You're welcome and we're sorry.
Exactly.
The confusion about this entire side note here about Washington and whatever is because a lot of the articles on the internet mix up the details because of this perfectly lovely carrot cake recipe and snippet of a story in a recent cookbook, Anne Burn's American Cake. Which is a great cookbook. And right, it's a lovely recipe. It's a lovely little bit of a story, but it just doesn't give that many details. And the internet, you know, just kind of ran with it in different incorrect ways. anyway, if you want to hear more about the book or the author, stuff you missed in history class, interviewed her about that book. Yes. American Cake. Great one. But okay. That first actual carrot cake recipe that you were talking about from 1827 is the English version of the recipe that early French restaurateur Antoine Bouvier would you what is that kind of how it's said a little bit?
Yeah.
Oh, Bouvier. Great. Yeah. Oh, thank you, Annie. Oh, thank you. Okay.
Well, let's hope.
Yeah. Oh gosh. anyway, he's the guy who wrote The Art of Cuisine in 1814. A two-volume book, super opus, really, really cool. Yes, his recipe for carrot cakes are much fancier than all of the boiled and or steamed puddings that we've been talking about, but still not exactly what we'd think of as carrot cake today. Like, this recipe involves boiling carrots and then making a sort of thick paste from them. Almost like a pâté de fruit, like kind of thing, yeah. And then mixing that carrot paste with pastry cream, flour, sugar, eggs, melted butter, whipped egg whites, and a sprinkle of sugared orange flowers. As you do. And then you bake that like in a water bath, like you might do for a cheesecake or a souffle. So very fancy. Sounds delicious. Interested in having someone else make it for me.
I think we can make it happen. well, here in the U.S., cake recipes using vegetables like beets, potatoes, and carrots started appearing frequently in cookbooks in the 1920s, including in the 1929 The 20th Century Bride's Cookbook, a recipe that was found in part when Pillsbury, yes, that one, see that episode, was conducting a nationwide search for the first American traditional carrot cake recipe. In 1939, Prudence Penny's cookbook out of New York published one of the first, quote, modern recipes for carrot cake. However, others think that modern carrot cake recipes stemmed from post-World War I current cake recipes that someone misread. Whatever the case, a lot of these early recipes involved flour, eggs, spices, and steamed or boiled carrots. Even though carrots had been mentioned and used as a sweetener previously in the West, it wasn't until World War II rationing around things like sugar gave rise to more widespread use of carrots as a sweetener. at least in the popularly reported narrative. Mm-hmm. One of the big things behind this thought is that in 1943, the British Ministry of Foods War Cookery Leaflet number 4 included the recipe for Dr. Carrot's Healthy Cake, which, going back to that listener who sent those postcards, it was a lot of stuff around this.
Yeah, yeah. Dr. Mm-hmm. Carrot is this great character who is a carrot and a doctor. and good for him.
Good for him, yeah.
Good for him. but okay, this type of subsistence cooking probably was not what made carrot cake, like, a thing. We've seen in lots of episodes how that's not how those types of foods usually work. Usually, like, after the war is over, people are like, ugh, kale, and don't want anything to do with it anymore. What seems to have happened with carrot cake is George C. Page. Okay. He's the dude who founded the museum at the La Brea Tar Pits in Los Angeles? Okay. George C. Page was a successful businessman in Southern California who made just a wild amount of money during World War II and immediately afterwards, basically renting warehouses to the war effort and buying beachfront property in Malibu when a bunch of people bounced for fear that the Japanese were going to try to invade there. That part isn't related to carrot cake. I was just entertained by the detail. but also during the war, okay, he got this government contract selling them dehydrated carrots, I imagine for rations. But then the war ended, and he just had this warehouse of tins full of dehydrated carrots. And apparently what happened was he called up this restaurant that he had washed dishes in when he was just off the bus from Nebraska, and the owner there had the idea to use rehydrated carrots in a cake. Maybe he hired the baker, or like maybe there was a team of bakers involved. He might have also started selling the cakes through this like gourmet mail order market that he also owned. I don't know whether to believe this story, but I really want to. Also, he was interviewed about it in The Good War, the oral history of World War II, which is like Pulitzer Prize winning. So I really want to believe it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But at any rate, yeah, the idea just got real popular. And that was perhaps thanks to an element that has thus far been missing, that cream cheese frosting.
Yes. Oh, yes. It wasn't until the 1960s that the pairing of cream cheese frosting and carrot cake would come together. And that's when, yeah, cream cheese was coming up in America, and thanks in particular to an ad campaign from the Philadelphia Cream Cheese Company. We've talked about this all the time. Companies come out with these pamphlets and are like, here's how you can use this thing we want you to sell.
Mm-hmm.
Make a carrot cake and put the cream cheese on it.
And for some reason, it hits big. Yeah.
Yeah.
The Food Network once called carrot cake one of the top 5 food fads of the 1970s.
Interesting. Like, going back to what you said, that it feels kind of old-fashioned here in the U.S.
Yeah.
I did read from some sources that it became associated with spring celebrations in the U.S., including Easter and Mother's Day. I'm guessing in part because of what you said, Lauren, of like our association with bunnies and carrots.
I don't know, man.
I don't know. For the Mother's Day one, I couldn't help but thinking like maybe it's because it's viewed as a healthier dessert, even though not necessarily true
at
all.
No.
But, you know, like that idea that women, of course, can't just have a dessert. It has to be like, has a vegetable in it.
Yeah, it has to be a healthier one. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. I couldn't find anything behind that. But that was just like my immediate gut instinct was like,
yeah,
probably.
You've done enough reading around stuff like that for stuff mom never told you that I trust your gut instinct on that one.
Yeah.
Your women's intuition, perhaps.
Yes. But like I said at the top, I do associate it more with fall, or like even a Christmas, like holiday dessert. I don't really put it with spring, but I get why people do. It's interesting.
Yeah. Interesting all around. What a,
mm-hmm.
I was not expecting George C. Page to pop up in this one, but here we are. Or the amount of research the amount of reading that I did into George Washington. I was like, huh, okay. Yeah.
You really can never tell.
You can't. You cannot.
But listeners, you can tell us.
Oh,
if
yeah.
You have any memories with carrot cake, recipes with carrot cake? Would love to hear about it.
We do already have some listener mail for you, but first we have one more quick break for a word from our sponsors. This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s.
She looked like a million bucks.
With zero qualifications.
She had a Harvard plaque.
Tricks her way past a wall of lawyers and agents.
She's got all of these Maseratis and Bentleys all in the driveway.
Is it like a mansion?
Yes, it's a mansion. That this queen of the con uses to scam some of the biggest names in professional sports out of untold fortunes.
About $6 million.
Approximately $11 million.
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
Employing whatever means necessary to bleed her victims dry.
She would probably have sex with one of her clients.
Hide your money in your old rich man because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. Thank you, sponsors.
Yes, thank you.
And we're back with listeners. Like a bunny hopping around.
That was really hard to follow. I'm sorry.
No, it's my fault. I'm sorry, Lauren.
Good times.
I've been up very late.
No.
It's okay.
Yes. We're doing fine.
Yeah, we're doing great. We have two wonderful messages about our anniversary special. Mm-hmm. And I have to say, we've gotten even more asking for the curse cut of Savor. So where Lauren's curse words are
Wowzers.
Let loose. So that's been great. That's really fun. but yes, for now, Arik wrote, 7 years already. Congrats. Because I binged into the show, it doesn't feel like it. I hope the show continues to keep on going for a long time. I enjoy the nerdiness, the fun, the down-to-earth feel of everything. The way you present things makes it enjoyable. I think it was Dylan who said that when you talk about things, it creates cravings to learn and try more about it. And I definitely second that. I'll hear about something that maybe I was not familiar with or have not had in a long time, and I'll find a way to get to it in the next week or two. Lima beans are a perfect example, Annie. Mm-hmm. Once you started talking about them and then provided some recommendations, I gave them a try. They are good. Not something I make regularly, but will add to dishes when looking to change some things up. I think you hit on something with poop. You have the SPU, Savor Poop Universe. don't cringe from the early episodes either. I love it when a classic pops up. We need to see Lauren in the pierogi t-shirt. And we still want the live show. Cursing won't bother me and would be hysterical to see. Here's to another 7 years at a minimum, hopefully. And here's to more food. Yes. I mean, the SPU.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
We're already in it. We just haven't branded it yet.
Yeah, yeah. It's a really impressively critical part of our food show.
It is. It is. I love how many people who are fans will bring that up. They're like, oh, the poop. I'm like, yep.
Yeah. That's
our brand. Cool.
Oh, it is cool. It's cool. It's great. Aww. Shelley wrote, I just listened to your anniversary episode and it was fun to hear how much delight and enjoyment has been had on your end, because there's definitely plenty of that created when I listen to the podcast. Thank you for that. I was also hoping to bug you to pass along both recipes from the Orgeat episode listener mails. Pretty please.
Yes, we will. We will. And thank you, because you, Shelley, have sent in coffee to us before.
Oh, that was good coffee.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, thank you.
Yeah, that was during my period where, remember, I kept running out of coffee and I wouldn't go to the grocery store. Shelley came to the rescue.
Yeah, that really saved the day.
It definitely did. But thank you. That's very kind. Glad it's bringing you joy. And it definitely has brought our team joy as well.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It really, it's just so awesome working with these humans and getting to do cool stuff with them. And yeah, eating food and then talking into a microphone about it.
Yeah. Pretty nice. Pretty nice. Yes. Well, thanks to both of these listeners for writing in. If you would like to write to us, you can. Our email is hello@saverpod.com.
We're also on social media. You can find us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram @SaverPod. And we do hope to hear from you. Saver is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, you can visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. Thanks, as always, to our super producers, Dylan Fagan and Andrew Howard. Thanks to you for listening, and we hope that lots more good things are coming your way. This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit Pronamel.com.
Hello, from Wonder Media Network, I'm Jenny Kaplan, host of Womanica, a daily podcast that introduces you to the fascinating lives of women history has forgotten. We've always been intrigued by stories of disappearances. Whether it's a fraudster from the 17th century who kept evading the authorities, or a novelist who taunted the Nazis and faked her own death, we all want to know, what happened next? To find out, listen to Womanica on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, I'm Dr. Maya Shunker, and I'm a scientist who studies human behavior. Many of us have experienced a moment in our lives that changes everything, that instantly divides our life into a before and an after. On my podcast, A Slight Change of Plans, I talk to people about navigating these moments. Their stories are full of candor and hard-won wisdom. And you'll hear from scientists who teach us how we can be more resilient in the face of change. Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.